You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. To get this show every day, follow us wherever you get your podcasts. You can also tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Mets. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them that Locked On sent you. So on today's show, I want to talk about what needs to happen for this Mets offense to really take off, and it's pretty simple. You got to hit the long ball. In the first two segments, I'm going to talk about how the home run has become the end-all, be-all in baseball over the last couple of years, and how the Mets need to really buy into that philosophy to be one of the best teams in the game. In the final segment, I will preview this upcoming series the Mets have against the Chicago Cubs. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing about the Mets at MetsMirageOnline.com. So as we get into the 2020s and math and science and technology had this collision course with sports, we often can get to this point where we overanalyze things, and I am one of the people that does that. You know, I will talk about weighted runs created plus and WOBA and expected ERA and all these different advanced metrics, and they're all valuable, and they all quantify and tell us what's going on the field, how valuable each individual player is. But at times, all the math is really pointing in one direction. And when it comes to baseball, even basketball, the math has bent the sport, and there has clearly been this revolution around two separate things with baseball and basketball. In baseball, it's been the home run. In basketball, it's been the three-point shot. It's just that simple. In the NBA, teams are living and dying by the three because that is a shot on the court that is more valuable than any of the others. In baseball, the home run is more valuable than anything else. If you can hit 2 3-run homers in a game, you win. Bottom line, that's all that matters. So this is what all the metrics are pointing to. You're talking about how effective people are driving the baseball. All of it comes down to hitting home runs. That is what this game has become. And so you go to 2016, you look at the last 5 years of the league, and the home run has been a huge dividing factor in if you make the playoffs or if you don't. So in 2016, the league average home runs per team was 187. Six of the top 10 home run hitting teams made the playoffs, and all but two of the playoff teams that year were above average. You had the Cubs make the playoffs at 199 home runs, the Nationals at 203. They were in 11th that year. Which was one less than Colorado, so they were almost a top 10 home run hitting team. The Mets in 2016 made the playoffs as a wild card team. I'm going to talk about that team a little bit more in depth in the next segment, but they had 218 home runs, came in fifth that year. The Dodgers had 189, just barely above league average. The Giants were the one aberration with only 130 home runs, yet they made the playoffs. The Red Sox 208 in ninth. The Orioles led the league at 253. The Blue Jays were in fourth with 221 homers. The Indians at 185, slightly below average, another aberration. And then you had the Rangers making the playoffs that year with 215. They were in seventh when it comes to home runs. In 2017, we saw a spike in home runs. The league average was 200 per team. The Mets that year had 224 home runs, which was eighth amongst all teams in baseball, yet there were 70 and 92. And this is where you see that pitching still matters. Can you keep the ball in the yard? Because the Mets gave up 5.33 runs per game, the third most of any team in the sport. You go through the teams at the top. You had the Yankees with 241, the Astros with 238 homers. The Cubs had 223 homers. That was the ninth most. The Indians had 212. The Twins had 206. And the Dodgers had 221. All of those teams made the playoffs, as well as the Diamondbacks at 220 and the Nationals at 215. So right there, you look, all of those teams over 200 home runs. Only three of them were in the top 10, but all of them are hitting the long ball very well. The Red Sox and the Rockies were the two teams that made the playoffs that year with less than 200 home runs. In 2018, the league average was 186 home runs. The Mets only had 170, and they had a 77-85 record. They were better at run prevention that year because Jacob DeGrom was out of this planet, but still, they did not hit the long ball well, and that's why they were a below 500 team. That season, eight of the top 10 home run teams made the playoffs. The Angels and the Rockies were the only two teams that did not, and that was because they had really bad pitching staffs. You go to the Yankees that year, they had 267 home runs. That was the most in the league. The Dodgers had 235. The Athletics had 227. The Brewers had 218. And the Indians had 216. That was your top five home run hitting teams. All of them made the playoffs. And that has actually become a theme because over the last three seasons since 2018, if you are in the top five in home runs hit, your team makes the playoffs. In 2019, home runs jumped even more. League average was 226 per team. Seven of the top 10 home run hitting teams made the playoffs in 2019. The Mets had 242 home runs in 2019, which I believe was a team record. They were 86-76. They were 11th overall in home runs hit. You had the Twins at 307, the Yankees at 306, the Astros at 288, the Dodgers at 279, and the Athletics at 257. That made up your top five. All of them made the playoffs. The Brewers at 250, the Braves at 249. Both of them made the playoffs. They were 7th and 8th in home runs hit. You had the Nationals at 231, who were in 13th. The Rays were at 217 home runs, and the Cardinals were at 210. So even though both of those last two teams were below league average technically when it comes to home runs hit, everyone was over 200 who made the playoffs that year. Then you go to 2020, and this was a weird year, expanded playoffs. It's tough to dive into the numbers too much, but what I will say is each of the top eight home run hitting teams made the playoffs. The only two out of the top 10 that did not make the playoffs were the Mets and the Angels. They came in 9th and 10th respectively. So overall, the bottom line is you hit long balls, you find a way to be at least an average pitching staff. Generally, you're going to win a ton of games, and that is the cheat code based on the new math that gets you into October baseball. And ultimately, if you can do that over a two-week stretch in the playoffs, you can go on a real run as well. So that's what the Mets have to figure out how to get to. That's why they are starting players like J.D. Davis and Dominic Smith, who aren't great defensively, because they're looking for home runs. I want to talk about how this pertains to this current team and the last two playoff teams the Mets have had in just a minute. This episode is brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female designers have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring, which is ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece. These are the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only at BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight, which is fairly priced, so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. If you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money. So why would you choose to spend 30%, 50%, maybe even 100% more for the exact same amount of parts at a chain store or a new car dealership when you can just use rockauto.com, a family business that's been serving auto parts to customers online for 20 years. They have everything you could want, from engine control modules to brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks and have it delivered directly to your door. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in there, how'd you hear about us, box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. The Locked On Podcast Network is covering the NFL draft from all angles. You can catch up on the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Odyssey. Also, follow Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast for the latest draft news. Stay tuned for more info about our live NFL draft coverage. The last time the Mets made the playoffs, it was 2016, a year after they went to the World Series. That season, they got off to a red-hot start in April, going 15-7. They were scoring 4.86 runs per game with 1.5 home runs per game. Then, their offense just fell off of a cliff over the next 3 months. They became a 500 team at best, more of a below 500 team, and it was 3.34 runs per game, 1.21 home runs per game. August and September, the Mets had a great run. You can remember those home runs hit by Asdrubal Cabrera and Jose Reyes and Curtis Granderson, a lot of late game heroics. And ultimately, the Mets scored 142 runs in August, 141 runs in September. That averaged out to 5.05 runs per game. They were back up to hitting close to 1.5 home runs per game at 1.46. The pitching also got better down the stretch, and the Mets made that run into the playoffs. Now in 2019, the Mets were not a playoff team, but they damn well should have been. They were very close. And ultimately, by looking through their season, the offense was good enough. It was the pitching that really hurt them. So between March, April, and May, first couple months of the season, the Mets were basically a 500 team. Then in June, the home runs really started to fly, but the record started to tank because the Mets were terrible as a pitching staff, primarily the bullpen. The Mets across June hit 48 home runs in 28 games. That is 1.71 home runs per game. They also scored 5 runs per game. The problem, they were giving up 5.75 runs per game. They were outscored by 21 runs that month. In July, the Mets started to make that run. They went 14-8. They were scoring 4.5 runs per game. The home runs per game actually took a dip to 1.45, but the pitching got better. They were only allowing 3.6 runs per game. In August, those trends about stabilized. They went 17-11. The Mets went up to scoring 5.29 runs per game. The home runs actually once again dipped to 1.39 per game, but they were getting on base more. They were capitalizing more when they did hit those home runs, and they were again pitching well, allowing 4.04 runs per game. Finally, in September and October, the Mets finished the season 17-10, and the home runs jumped again. They hit 50 home runs in 27 games. That's an average of 1.85 home runs per game. They were scoring 5.19 runs per game and only allowing 3.92. So if you look at that season, clearly you need a combination of both. You need the great pitching, and you need to be able to score runs, and the best way to score runs is to hit the long ball. That is just the reality of Major League Baseball today. As much as we harp on hitting with runners in scoring position, if you hit a couple solo home runs, it counts the same as a couple of hits with runners in scoring position. That's just how you have to look at the math nowadays, and this current Mets team only has 6 home runs in their first 11 games played. So they are not hitting the long ball yet, and that is really the biggest reason why this offense has stalled. As much as we talk about, you know, the not coming through in the clutch spots, if they just hit a couple of home runs, they would be in a lot better place. And when you look at the way this team is constructed, this is really an attempt to get to 250 home runs this season. Because if you get to that number, you're probably going to make the playoffs. You're probably going to have an above average offense. And this pitching is already proving to be very, very strong between what Stroman and DeGrom are providing at the top. Taijuan Walker and David Peterson look rock solid. The eventual return from Carrasco and Syndergaard. I think the Mets are going to be fine when it comes to run prevention. It's can they manufacture enough offense? Can they hit the ball out of the park? And you look at the starting lineup in particular, between Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso, I bet you the Mets are thinking they're going to get around 75 home runs. Because Lindor, throughout his career, has averaged north of 30. Pete obviously has the potential to hit you 50, but he should at least be over 40. So a conservative prediction for those two guys would be 75 home runs. I'd say the same goes for Dominic Smith, J.D. Davis, and Michael Conforto. I think any of them could have a 30 to 40 home run season if everything broke right, but your soft projections would have Smith and Davis maybe around 25 and Conforto making up the difference. Ultimately, I think if you look at the three of them as 75 home runs, you're happy on, again, a softer projection. When you look at Jeff McNeil, Brandon Nimmo, and James McCann, I would project at least 50. Can that happen between those three guys? I think so. If one of them hits 20, the other two hit 15, there you go. And so right there with your starting lineup, you're looking at 200 home runs. So how do you get to 250? You get above average production from those guys, a couple of them having career years, and you get home runs from your bench guys, the guys that are going to come up and down from the minors, that type of stuff. So that is how this offense is constructed. And the biggest part of the power bats the Mets have and the way this thing really is supposed to click together, you have your top five I talked about, Lindor, Pete, Smith, Davis, Conforto. And then what McNeil and Nimmo provide is another way that you bend the math in this sport, and that's getting on base a ton. Nimmo, so far this year, has just been ridiculous, leading baseball right now in batting average and on-base percentage. McNeil, not quite there yet, but you know eventually he should round into form. You want those guys on base while the other guys are hitting home runs. And again, it comes down to the three-run homer. If you're the team that can consistently find a way to hit those three-run homers and not give them up, that is a great recipe for success. And when we're looking at pitching nowadays, the reason why it's become so strikeout heavy is because you're trying to avoid giving up those home runs. The Mets have the pitching staff that can keep the ball in the yard. They just have to find a way to be that level of an offense as well. Now, the Mets have a great opportunity to start hitting home runs as they're about to play a series at Wrigley Field against the Cubs. I'm going to preview that series in just a minute. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whether it's the NBA, the NHL, or Major League Baseball, BetOnline has you covered. They even have awards, TV shows, and reality TV. With real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine, BetOnline has you covered for all the new scores and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. So head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with our promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. This series is supposed to kick off later tonight on Tuesday, but we're not so sure that's going to happen right now because apparently there is some snow in the forecast in Chicago, and the way this Mets season is going, I fully expect a doubleheader to be played on Wednesday instead of things getting off to the normal schedule with a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday series. But if things do go as planned, the Mets will be facing the Cubs later on tonight. It'll be Taijuan Walker versus Jake Arrieta. Now, the Cubs are in last place right now in the NL Central. They are 6-9. Their run differential is minus 23. They're only scoring 3.4 runs per game. They're allowing 4.93 runs per game. Not a good recipe to win a lot of ball games. Since winning their first series of the season, which was their opener against the Pirates, the Cubs have lost each of their last four series. None of them have been sweeps, and that's how you get to that 6-9 record. This is not the best team. This is not the Cubs teams of the past, yet it's still a Cubs team that has the star power and can certainly beat you in a couple of games and steal a series. There's no doubt that the talent is still there. And it is interesting to see Jake Arrieta once again in a Cubs jersey. That's one of those players where it just feels right for him to be a Cub and never quite looked right as a Philly, especially last year against the Mets, because he was actually good in his two starts, surprisingly, pitching to a 2.19 ERA against New York. I struck out 11 batters and walked 2 in 12 and a third last year. This year, Arrieta has been about average. He's pitching to a 3.18 ERA. As the last time out, he gave up 3 runs in 5 innings against the Brewers. Struck out 5 in that start and only walked 1, but picked up a loss. He is 2-1 on the season. Walker has been great so far, has a 2.61 ERA in his 2 starts this season. I love that this Mets rotation feels so different than what we saw last year, where if it wasn't Jacob deGrom on the mound, or David Peterson, really, you had zero confidence the Mets were going to get 5 innings. You had zero confidence that the starting pitcher was not going to give up 4 runs. Now, this rotation has depth. It has a higher ceiling. These are guys you trust giving the ball to. So, Taijuan Walker versus Jake Arrieta. I think the Mets have an edge there. Then, in the next game on Wednesday, it'll be David Peterson versus Zach Davies. Now, for Peterson, very interesting note by MLB.com, which is that this will be his first career start outside of the Eastern time zone. Obviously, this is because in 2020, in his rookie year, the Mets only played teams on the East Coast as part of the COVID scheduling. His last time out, Peterson was great, had 10 strikeouts against the Phillies. Unbelievable bounce back start, going from getting knocked around in his first start of the season to really shutting down that exact same lineup a week later. So I really like what I saw there. We will see what he looks like on the Central time zone, or in the Central time zone, against the Cubs. And going against Zach Davies, who has not been good in his last 2 starts. He's given up 11 runs on 12 hits in 5 2/3 innings pitched in those 2 starts combined. That includes 3 strikeouts and 6 walks. Definitely not a great way to pitch effectively when you're walking twice the amount of batters that you're striking out. This is a contact pitcher when he's at his best. Because he's had those 2 rough starts, I fully expect him to be due for a bounce back against the Mets and end up pitching very well. His last time out, he gave up 4 runs in 4 innings against the Braves. Then you'll have Jacob deGrom versus Trevor Williams. Clearly a huge edge the Mets have in that one. Williams was pretty good his last time out, allowed just 1 run over 5 plus frames in a win against the Braves on Saturday. He struck out 4 and walked 3 in that game, but overall, he has a 5.93 career ERA at Wrigley Field. Not the type of pitcher that you fear by any stretch. So hopefully the Mets at least take one of those first 2 games and give Jacob deGrom an opportunity to win another series, or maybe to get a sweep. Be nice to be the first team to sweep the Cubbies this year. I will say, before the season, I predicted the Cubs to win that division. Don't feel great about that. A few weeks into the year, maybe the Cubs eventually turn things around. But right now, the Reds look like the juggernaut in that division. Who saw that one coming? I know I did not. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow us, rate, and review wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you follow me on Twitter at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show at Locked On Mets. And the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 is presented by Locked On and Odyssey, and it is happening now. It features analysis from NFL experts like Michael Irvin, Jason LaCanfora, Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team are making trades. They're picking the next stars for their team. So search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your home for all the sports podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y.